from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Braves trying to get another dub tonight. We're going to talk more about it along the way. Glad you are here listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. Last night, Marcell Ozuna goes deep again. He has been our offensive MVP throughout the season, and he carried us again last night. 37th home run for him, and he's Mike chasing 40 now on the year. It's just crazy to think that Marcell Ozuna is the guy, with all that's happened to this team, that's still doing what he's been doing since the start of the season.
And you think about it, man. I think what was his dip? Like 2.5 weeks? That's
you're,
it.
You're right.
And then he's been right back to trucking and just putting this team on his back. Real quick, since you brought up the Big Bear, funny tweet from David O'Brien from The Athletic, our boy Dave. Apparently today, getting his work in the cages. Even more reason to love Marcell Ozuna, wearing a Dale Earnhardt t-shirt with sleeves cut off, the Intimidator's face on the front. And so, I mean, I just posted an old photo of Earnhardt. So another reason Ozuna should be MVP.
I love it, man. Let's hopefully get a good start from Fried. We'll talk more about what the lineup's going to look like. And by the way, Gio got an RBI last night.
He drew a walk. Now, he had a strikeout and he had a flyout, but he had a walk when the bases were loaded, and that counts, baby, as an RBI. That was great stuff, and it was a pressure cooker of a game. And you'll get one of those today because Aaron Nola has always given the Braves trouble. Can Max Fried get it done? We'll talk more about that coming up.
All right, right now, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
I think one of the biggest compliments you can get as a college coach is from NFL coaches saying when their guys get drafted, they're ready to play. A lot of times, teams in college football put guys in the NFL, and then you know, they're just not ready. That's not the case with Georgia guys. And I think, you know, we've gotten used to seeing 8, 9, 10 guys go to the league every year now under Kirby Smart's tenure. This year's not going to be any different. They're going to put a plethora of guys in the National Football League. But I want you to hear D'Amico Ryans, who was talking about Kamari Lassiter, and just, you know, put it out there. He didn't have to say this, but I think it speaks volumes about why you see Georgia guys getting drafted around the National Football League.
At Georgia, Kirby's done a great job, you can tell, of raising them the right way, of having those guys. Kirby's done a great job with all of his guys, having those guys NFL ready to go. And that's one thing you see from Georgia, like, year after year since he's been there, right, those guys are plug-and-play type players, and it's a credit to him and his program and how they run things there. It's you get a Georgia guy, you know you're getting an NFL player.
I mean, seriously, get the paint out, put it on the wall somewhere at Sanford Stadium or the Butts Mirror Building, because that's everything you need to know. Put it in your facility. That's it. Because if ever there's a ringing endorsement, saw that yesterday. First, we love D'Amico Ryans, and D'Amico Ryans knows what you need to be a star in the NFL. But how great is that? You can't have a better ringing endorsement.
No. And, you know, again, part of this is, yes, guys go to Georgia to play for national championships because that's where the program is now. But most of these guys, again, you're talking about the elite players go there for an opportunity to get to the next level. You know, Mike and I haven't spent a lot of time on this, guys, but, you know, reports out of, Chargers camp, Ladd McConkey's balling out.
Right.
And I don't know if it's any surprise or it should be for Georgia fans, but, like, he's going to jump on the scene and there are going to be people around the country going, who is this Ladd McConkey? Georgia.
By the way, great fantasy pick, you know, late round pick, because he's going to, you're right, man, he's going to put some numbers up. I'm curious what Bowers is going to do with the Raiders, just because the quarterback situation is so funky with Minshew. Gardner Minshew, right? Yeah. But getting back to the initial point, yeah, man, that's because it's the same reason why Saban had things going. Like, you know it, and I know it. It's Alabama and Kirby's own slant on it at Georgia, the facilities, the results now, of course, and the athletes. By the way, we talked and joked around about Jalen DeBoer with Steve Spurrier, Kellen DeBoer. We didn't have a chance to get this in yesterday, but look, they're not sleeping over there in Tuscaloosa. Crimson Tide got the number two running back in this year's draft class, or I should say recruiting class.
You could call it that.
Which, in all intents and purposes, it is. Aiklin Deere, first off, great name for a running back. He's from Mississippi. He took Bama over a Miss State and Ole Miss. Florida, Michigan, Ohio State were also after him, but he signs with Bama.
Yeah, you're right. And the other thing is, the recruiting, this is the one thing I thought that might fall off just a bit. It hasn't. So, right. You know, Coach DeBoer is doing a really good job of embracing what Bama is and has been. And, Mike, you know, the reports are like, hey, he's a closer, man. And you know, I don't think you put a national championship team together at Washington if you're not, right? And then he put
Jalen DeBoer.
And then he put all those guys in the NFL as well. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking some college football. ESPN makes a lofty projection for Georgia football, projects the 12-team college football playoff field. I did this on social media the other day, just putting it out there in no particular order, because I think the order doesn't matter, to be quite honest with you, until we get into, you know, late October, early November. But they have Georgia as the number one overall seed, Mike. And if that's true, then obviously that means they get the bye. It also means they won the SEC championship, no matter who it ends up playing. You know, Alabama, Texas, whoever it's going to be. Ole Miss, pick your team. But this is based on Georgia also being selected the committee's number one team in its final rankings on Selection Day. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to say that now, knowing what we know about this team and what they have coming back? Georgia has the best chance, by the way, 47% of any team to reach the SEC title game.
Yes. How's that?
Me too.
I think so.
Me too.
Mean, you and I were talking about this the other day. I mean, the best odds. So, I mean, nothing changes. Remember all the conversation, Rook, just sidebar, about NIL, transfer portal. The top 25 is still the top 25. What's changed, right?
I mean, there's nothing. Maybe they're spending more than they used to.
I mean, the difference is Georgia Tech is spending. Georgia Tech, if they can build off that and bring more guys like they did, bring in the best tackle in, then you can obviously say you will be able to compete. It's just tough for Georgia Tech because the ACC, maybe it's in flux, maybe it's not. But at the end of the day, if you continue to win, there'll be a place for Georgia Tech somewhere in one of the big power conferences, right? If the ACC does go kaput.
I totally agree with that.
But getting back to the initial point, though, it's everybody basically that would have been in the top 10 last year that's expected to be in the top 10 this year. And now we're 12 with the playoff.
It's fair. And again, the preseason polls have shown us that as well, right? I mean, even in the preseason polls, which I'd say always say, it's just a starting point. Everybody gets all, you know, oh, why do they have this?
And nowadays, here's the thing, with the 12-team playoff, it doesn't matter.
No.
You know, it mattered in 2004 when Tommy Tuberville runs the table and Alabama starts outside the top 25.
Sure.
And then, you know, kind of got hosed there. So, I mean, but nowadays, I just don't think it matters as much, because if you're good enough, you're going to be in that top 12.
You have to maintain, but the starting point does matter. I mean, I think it's harder. It's going to be harder if, let's say, you're Team 26 right now, and your chances of getting into the top 12 between now and the end of the season, you've got to be flawless. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. I'm with Mike on this. 47% chance of any team to reach the SEC title. I totally buy into that. I think Georgia's going to be there.
Hey, we were talking about Eli Drinkwitz off the air. You know, it's interesting. You know, remember when Kirby had his 93K day? Trying to set the tone.
He sure did.
Saying, look, you know, and Georgia fans responded, and it was a new era. And subsequently, less folks have showed, but it was huge. And it made the news all across the country. There was a new sheriff in town, and eventually a year later, you know, Georgia's playing for a national championship. Eli Drinkwitz is making big money in Missouri. And he basically said, look, I know we're playing Murray State, but we got to sell this thing out. If we're supposed to be taken for serious as a real contender, we got to represent.
I agree. And by the way, Ole Miss fans got called out last year when they were rolling, and Lane Kiffin was like, we got to show up. This is Eli Drinkwitz.
But our challenge is we need to sell out this first game. All right? We're a top 11 program in the country coming off a Cotton Bowl win. And in my opinion, if we don't sell out the first game, then that shows me that we're not where we want to be as a fan base yet. Okay? I mean, that's just the reality of it. Don't sit on the sideline and wait. Well, it's got to be this game. No, it doesn't. Come watch this team and be excited about this team.
He's right. Mike, I think there's a sense, and this is the problem sometimes, when you have a good team and you feel like, hey, they might do something this year, you know, it's a flash in the pan. And because of that, people don't necessarily want to buy in. They think that, all right, you know, we'll be good, but we won't be good against Georgia. Or we won't be good against the...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Better teams on our schedule, and so there's not a complete buy-in with the fan base. Once you get good in college football, and you're doing it like Georgia, every year, and even before Georgia was winning national championships, right, they were selling out Sanford Stadium just because it's Georgia and the talent level that was there. But, Mike, I think that has to happen consistently before the fans totally go, you know what, we're selling out every game, and we're certainly selling out our season right. opener.
And we talked about it. You know, Vanderbilt always looks tough on TV because it's always opposing fans taking over.
Did they finish that stadium, by the way? I know it was like a high school stadium last
year,
right?
Yeah, I don't know how long it's going to take. I know Florida State's all tore up this year down at Doak. Same thing. They're doing some improvements. But, you know, the Missouri stadium looks like a high school stadium, you know, with the grass and everything. I mean, I don't know if they're going to ever. It just doesn't really fit the eye test of the SEC. By the way, speaking of the SEC, interesting comments from Caleb Downs, who transferred from Alabama to Ohio State. They needed safety help, and he's a safety, and he's really good. And he's certainly qualified to speak about SEC competition. Today he says Ohio State's talent is, quote, above or right at an elite SEC level. Well, we saw that here 2 years ago in Georgia at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, I think that people who don't watch, and this is the thing, because we get tunnel vision. You only watch football in the South. The Southern teams matter. SEC matters. I said this, you know, a few years ago to Mike when we were talking about Georgia losing to Texas. The talent has always been there. It's whether you put it together, Mike. It's never been about the money for Ohio State. It's never been about the talent. And I think for those people who watch the Big Ten, they know that. They look just like Georgia getting off the bus, guys.
Right.
I mean, there's not that much of a difference. This isn't, Missouri State This is Ohio State. So I'm not surprised. And Caleb Downs, by the way, was playing with a bunch of five stars at Alabama for Nick Saban before he transferred.
Question, though, is Will Howard, there's potential starting quarterback for the Buckeyes. Would he be like the fifth best quarterback in the SEC?
Yeah.
Transfer from Kansas State.
I agree with that.
24 touchdowns, 10 picks last year.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, man, we're going to switch gears, talk some NFL with Ian Valentino, NFL analyst for the 33rd team. The latest around the league. We'll talk some quarterbacks. We'll talk Falcons as well. It's Dukes and Bell.
Game.
Let's talk some football with Ian Valentino, NFL analyst for the 33rd team. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Ian, we've been spending a lot of time, obviously, on our Falcons. There's a lot of excitement here in the ATL about our team and our quarterback and our weapons. And I want to get your opinion on what you think of the Falcons now that they've made these moves to acquire Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, that defense looks a lot more formidable, right? Like, this is a team that looks like it was built to make a playoff push this season. And this is, I think, what we expected when Kirk Cousins was brought in. And I think, you know, bringing in Raheem Morris is a good move, and he's going to get the most out of the guys that he had, and that was always going to be the case. But now you're actually giving him some leadership. You're giving him proven production. And even if Judon and Simmons are maybe guys that are maybe more year-to-year at this point just because of their age, they're guys that should do really well this year. There's no reason to think that they won't be impactful. And even into the future, I think they've got a couple years left there. So I think if everyone stays healthy, and that's the key because you're relying on a couple of guys that are 30 or older and, of course, a quarterback coming back from major injury, we can assume that if those guys are at least good, then this should be a team that has a really good chance of winning that that division.
We got one of the easiest schedules, but our first quarter is brutal. We got the Steelers, and we got the Eagles and the Chiefs. And the Saints we can handle. I think we can handle them, Ian. But it is a tough way to start. But you feel that this team, because of the edge rush, we haven't had edge rush here in decades. It's something we've been longing for. It just seems like we can do things. I'm not saying we're going to look like the Rams because they had Aaron Donald, but I think we're going to look like the Rams, or try to look like the Rams on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. I mean, obviously the coaching staff is part of that, but look at what the Rams did last year. They got the most out of guys that were maybe unheralded or guys that weren't really known yet. And you can scheme as much as you can. And like you said, Donald obviously makes that easier. But look at what they did last year in Los Angeles with a secondary that really nobody had heard of most of those guys. So it's not like they were working with the Super Bowl secondary that they had a few years ago. That's completely changed. I think Atlanta, yeah, I mean, you need someone to step up, right? Like, you need that cornerback two spot to not be terrible. And I think if you can just cover up a position like that as best as you can, a lot of the other stuff's kind of there in place too. I mean, Grady Jarrett's obviously still going to be really good, and he might not be Donald with like 10 sacks, but if he can just be a consistent force, I think there's enough there for Morris to work with.
What do you make of our linebacking core? And I'm curious, like, just when we talk about getting pressure, do you think that we'll be in the mix for one of the top sack teams now adding Judon, or does that just increase those numbers maybe by five or six?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that probably determines the upside of the team as a whole. That's probably my number one question for the team, I think. I think that's the best way to put it. Because if they can even just be an average sack team, which is probably where I would put them, the scheme is going to do a certain amount, but you really do need players who are going to make that happen. Like New England, with what they did with Judon, despite not having anybody else, I think is more Bill Belichick being Bill Belichick. Now, Raheem Morris is really good. If he can get this unit into the top 10, that's going to say a ton about him. And I'm optimistic, but even if they can just get to average and have Judon be a star and be what he was in New England, where he's the hub and then everyone else kind of benefits from that, and then you're going to be bringing a lot of simulated pressures, a lot of confusing looks to quarterbacks. I don't know that there's going to be someone out there. I mean, we'll see with Edebuike, like if he can kind of take that step as a young guy. Yeah, you like his raw skills. I don't know if he's got the skill set that is developed yet to be, you know, an 8 to 10 sack guy on his own, but maybe he can be schemed into being that range. And I think that's the intriguing part and kind of like the fun part of this, where someone's going to emerge and it just might not be someone that we expect, but that's going to come from the scheme more so than I think the individual talent.
It's Ian Valentino, guys, NFL analyst for the 33rd team. Check it out. By the way, Google 33rd team. You'll check it out. Easy with us on the waitfor.com hotline. In the NFC, we have some of the usual suspects. Do you believe any of this contract squabble with Ayuk, or is that going to affect the 49ers in any way, or do you think they keep on trucking?
Yeah, I think they're going to hammer something out. I just think it makes too much sense. That team is built to win now. A trade never really made sense to me unless if they could get Amari Cooper, from the Browns. I think that probably had real legs to it, just because that's a team that has to get a guy who can play at a high level for them to get back to the Super Bowl. But for them, you're just going to retool in the draft in the future anyways. You already have an expensive roster. The cap keeps going up. Just keep your guys as long as you can. I mean, Debo, you're probably going to get rid of Debo sooner than you would Brandon Ayuk. So I think the 49ers will figure it out. They would have needed to get just a great offer to get rid of Ayuk. The money, I mean, it's easy for me to say that this money is life-changing, but the difference there is not really significant enough in NFL terms, I think, to keep these two parties from making this work.
Who, in your opinion, Ian, is the best rookie that you've seen thus far? Bo Nix named the starter for the Broncos today. We know he's had a really good camp and, more importantly, you know, impressive preseason games. But how much stock can you put into that? He'll be 24 years old September 8th, which obviously was one of the older quarterbacks coming out of college football. And we know he played a lot of college football. But is it Bo Nix or is it somebody else that you've been seeing that you feel more comfortable saying, hey, that's going to be the guy?
I thought Nix looked really good last week. I thought the first week was kind of strange because the numbers looked good and the results looked good. But if you watched him in the pocket, he looked scared. He was falling backwards. His feet were all over the place. He was double clutching the ball. He still played all right despite that, but you kind of were worried. It was like, oh, this is a guy with 4 or 5 years of college experience. He shouldn't be too scared in the NFL. But then week two, he looked a lot better, and he played more confident. And you definitely are feeling that that team probably made the right choice looking at who else they had. So I think Nix has played well. I thought Jaden Daniels did a really nice job, too, in week two. He only played a little bit that first week, but second week they said, hey, we're going to make you take some contested throws, get rid of the ball quickly, hit these throws that are tough, and see how you are in a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. Less deep throws and more of these short spots where if you don't, you know, throw to the right shoulder, it's going to be a pick six. And he nailed it. He played really well, played with a lot of poise. They didn't rely on his legs too much, which I like. I think that he's going to have to win from the pocket, of course, to get to his ceiling. The big plays will come with his legs, of course. But I thought Daniels has been, from week one and week two, probably the most impressive of the rookies, if you look at it from like the big picture.
Ian Valentino's with us here, guys, on Dukes and Bell from the 33rd team, talking some NFL. We get the Steelers in week one. Russell Wilson says, we're playing. So any idea who's going to win that quarterback job for Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson because I think that was a condition of them landing him. I think they promised him the job, and I don't think Pittsburgh is really the franchise to go against what they would tell a player like that. I think Fields has looked nice. I think he is potentially the future there. I mean, he's kind of a mixed bag. Physically, he's got everything you want. He's just got to avoid the mistakes, and there's no doubt that he brings the higher ceiling, and I do think that at some point this season, Pittsburgh's going to look at that and say, look, unless if Russell Wilson shows us anything that he was in Seattle, sooner than later, we're going to have to go to someone else. But I think Wilson's going to get that first month to 6 weeks. Has Fields done well enough to overtake him in the preseason? Probably not. He's looked okay, but he still has those, you know, those brain farts right, where it's just like, man, like you got to play quicker and you got to get rid of the ball. If he doesn't stop doing that, he's just going to be this really fun Madden type player over this actually good football player.
We've spent a lot of time, Ian Valentino, NFL analyst for the 33rd team, on Tua and this, you know, this controversy or conversation about him and Brian Flores. I want to ask you about how good you think the Dolphins are going to be, period. They spent a lot of money. They paid pretty much all their key guys, right? And Tyreek even got a bump, and they took care of Tua. What's your take on the Dolphins this season?
Yeah, I'm conflicted with them because they paid who they could, but then they also lost a couple of guys in free agency just because of natural cap stuff. And it's tough to lose your best defensive lineman. Like Christian Wilkins was a good player. I don't blame them for not paying him $100 million, but at the same time too, how do you get better when you watch someone like that go through the door? And you know, their secondary has a lot of question marks. They brought in Jordan Poyer from the Bills, and he was ready to retire last year. He looked old and slow. And I say that as an old and slow guy myself. So, they've got the offensive explosiveness, but if they can't play better on the road, it doesn't matter. So some of it, I don't think it's really a talent issue for Miami. I think it's a matter of they've got to figure out this discrepancy between home and away because they're almost more like a college team where they're relying on this explosive offense. And defensively, they've got the headlining talent, but I think like that middle of the defense, and I use that more of like a from like a talent perspective, right? Like they've got a couple of A-listers, and then everyone else is like a C or D-lister. So they don't have like a like you look at the Falcons where it's more of like everyone's more like a B, and then maybe you just got like a, an A or two. But like I don't know that they have the meat of the defense that's really something that you can rely on to win those tough games. So they're a fun team, but everything has to go right for them to be competitive in the playoffs. And I just don't think that exists because you're going to have to go on the road to these teams that play in the cold weather. And we've seen Miami continue to struggle on the road.
Not a fan of Coach Bra. Hey, man, Ian, should Jerry Jones' son, Steven, put him in assisted living and take away football decision-making? Because what's going on with CeeDee Lamb? I mean, maybe Dak never gets signed, but what's up with the Cowboys?
Yeah, I don't know. They at least have to move him away from the mic. I don't know how you can go out there and say your all-pro receiver is not a priority. And, you know, you don't take care of him. It's a tough look, and they just continue to kind of, you know, to make mistakes in the media, and they say weird things, and then you know, they don't act on it. So, yeah, the Cowboys are in a tough spot. They probably have the worst supporting cast of any serious or a team that feels that they're a serious contender of anybody, and that's even with CeeDee Lamb. I mean, the running back situation is a disaster. Wide receiver outside of Lamb is terrible, and who knows if Lamb's going to be out there for week one. So, and what's the future of Dak? I mean, obviously he'll be a very rich man no matter what, but if he's not a rich man in Dallas, that team is kind of just spinning its wheels. So, and I know he's not like the best quarterback ever, but they've taken no steps to try to get someone for the future outside of him. So just, it just seems like a rudderless plan. And that's really tough for a team that's, I think, going to be facing a lot of pressure this fall.
Are you buying the Jets hype again?
Yeah. Ooh. If you could tell me that they're healthy for the majority of the season, and so that's Tyron Smith, that's Tyron Smith, that's Aaron Rodgers, that's all these guys. If they're healthy, it makes sense to me that they could be a team that is wins the AFC East. But at the same time, that's such a big if, and all of these guys have missed so much time. They don't have the depth to be able to withstand that. So even the receiving unit. You know, Mike Williams, I mean, you can't rely on that guy. So it's too much of a stretch, I think. Is it possible? Yes. I mean, we've seen some teams have, you know, the stroke of luck of, you know, many, many, many moons. And I don't think that they're a team that, you know, the Jets franchise has not screamed stability and luck throughout, you know, the last 60 years. So I'm going to guess no, but the roster is legit. Like the starting 22 is very good.
Right. All right, let's bring it back to our Atlanta Falcons, talking with Ian Valentino. Oh, about what do you think? Playoffs, 11 wins,
playoffs.
10 wins. We got skill position guys, and we just haven't had a way to get them the football the last few years. We had some horrible quarterback play. Now we got Cousins. So give us your no BS assessment on the Falcons.
All right, it's going to be a tough year as far as getting out of the division, because I do think there's three good teams, and I think that they're pretty similar. So I think the Saints just have a roster that is still solid through these years. Like I still like that defense. That defense is still something that
old.
You got to respect.
Aren't they old,
I know
though?
DeMario Davis is going to be doing this till he's 50 years old.
Yeah,
that guy
is
phenomenal.
You're right.
I love Chris Olave. Alvin Kamara, same thing. That's a guy that Father Time should have taken his wheels already. Mm. But that guy is still really good. So I don't think they win the division, though. I think you look at the Falcons, I'm saying I think 10 wins.
Okay.
And, yes, they make the playoffs. The question is whether they win the division over the Buccaneers.
Right.
Because I think the Buccaneers are pretty solid, too. But I'm much more optimistic about the team since getting Simmons, since getting Judon. It now makes a lot more sense. And props to them for waiting, because they didn't pay, you know, 100 cents on the dollar for those guys. They paid probably a quarter of what they would have spent if they would have gone and gotten these guys in March.
All right, big guy. We like it. Again, I know that our past here, no, we had 6 years without the playoffs, so it's gonna be a minute for some folks to get on board. Hopefully, we'll talk to you in a few weeks, and you'll be on board. 100%. Thanks, Ian.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. That is Ian Valentino, NFL analyst for the 33rd team. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, we've got a lot more to get to. Today, the Falcons practiced as they continue to get ready for the upcoming season. They scrimmaged, and some good news coming out of these scrimmages today. Kirk Cousins, 16 to 22, completed passes to 7 different receivers. Lots of action for our wide receivers, which we'll talk about. So we'll get to all of that as part of our Falcon report. But, Mike, We got to get into some guy talk, man. And, you know, we started the show. I said I had a couple of things on my mind. One of them was the guys being in the front row.
We'll talk about Andy Randy. Oh, these must be the best seats in the house. Get into that. Also, a two-story Chick-fil-A. And Carl.
Where?
I'm going to tell you.
Wow.
And how in the hell is the U.S. Navy run out of pants? It's all on the way.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes! Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where the players play, the Braves win. Braves win last night. Maybe doing part two. Andy Randy, along with Bo, the lovable engineer, and Abe, where they are sitting second row behind home plate in the rich, fancy, schmancy seats. I knew they said they were going to the game, but I forgot about it. I'm watching last night outside on the big screen, and I take a picture of Brandon Marsh, you know, who grew up in Buford.
He
has got the goofy, like, sort of greasy hair with the hillbilly beard. And I was just, I go, why does he do this? Anybody went to school with him? What look is he going for? Like Hatfields and McCoys, Sons of Anarchy? And meanwhile, somebody goes, hey, man, that's Andy sitting there. I go, holy cow, it is. And then, as we know, Andy and Randy Carl, being born hard,
yes,
were very intently watching this baseball game, and they got the win in what was a really impressive playoff atmosphere.
It was. Mike, I think we need to be in contract negotiations as we speak. Those seats are very expensive, and obviously the entire crew, not one,
not two,
but the entire midday show was there, producers included, and Abe took a picture and put it out there on Twitter. I don't call it X. And Abe had, like, you know, all these chins, and he's like, bad angle, I'm sorry, and he apologized. I was more curious to who got those seats for the midday team.
Now, our good buddy Bo Johnson is also working there underneath home plate when he's not pushing the buttons.
Are you
and
saying
doing a great
these
job.
Are the perks?
I think somebody reached out to somebody.
Okay.
Now, look, part of the reason why I pay for my own freight is I don't like owing favors. But if you want me to call Derek Schiller, we can try to get in those seats.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I that was my main thing.
My thing is I like to pay my own freight. That thusly, when I'm getting
do your own thing,
getting hot or giving heat to the team, you know, then no one can call you, hey, lay off there, tough guy.
I agree. There's something to be
not
said
that
about that.
Not that they never do that.
No. Of course not. But I'm with you on that. That was my main thing. I was like, fellas looked great last night. It looked like the show had a good time hanging out, and we loved doing that with our show. But at the end of the day, obviously we are underpaid on this program, Mike.
Only front row I got is at 342, Joe. Dukes and Bell, hashtag men of the people. Thank you. All right, man. A couple of things. Story I didn't get to yesterday because we went off on a tangent, like we often do. But I wanted to pay off the tease, which is now 23 hours and 45 minutes late.
Which one?
About a man struck by girlfriend on their way to couples counseling.
Oh, you did tease that.
I never got to it. A woman was arrested after she struck her boyfriend with her car while the pair were on their way to couples therapy in Minnesota. WKRC-TV reports the Otter Tail, Minnesota resident and victim. Great name for a town.
It is. Otter Tail?
Otter Tail, Minnesota. This guy who's dating Veronica Rolene Gast, her boyfriend. They didn't give the name of the boyfriend. But they're driving to therapy, and apparently at the red light, they start arguing. And the guy says, screw this. He gets out of the car. He goes, I'm done with you. Breaks up with her. And as he gets out of the car, he then exits the car. He passes in front of the car to reach the sidewalk. She runs him over.
Oh, she hit him.
Yes. She said the pair made eye contact, and he alleges she revved the gas and took him out. According to the TV station in Minneapolis, the woman floored the gas and struck him. Police said the victim rolled over the hood of the car, shattered the window, laceration on his elbow. The woman claimed she did not see her boyfriend in front of the car.
Liar!
But eventually admitted to police that, yeah, she hit him. The defendant admitted that as she was pulling away, she hit the victim with her vehicle. The defendant said she slowed down and stopped to call the police. Defendant said she was in shock after hitting the victim, so she did not stop right away.
Wow.
He dumped her and she ran him over.
Yeah.
On the way to couples therapy.
I mean, there's other things to do to get over a breakup. I mean, come on. You don't have to run a brother over.
In Otter Tail, Minnesota. Hey, a two-story Chick-fil-A? Ribbon cutting going on, I guess, today in Henry County. Stockbridge, right on Jotico Road.
Wow.
The idea is they put the restaurant and the kitchen right on top, so the food comes down lickety-split.
Okay.
So the restaurant is going to have two stories, an elevated drive-through. The kitchen's built above the drive-through lanes. Meals will be, quote, expedited to the team member who delivers the food directly to the customer in the space protected by the upper level.
Can Chick-fil-A get any faster?
No.
Like, every time, it's the only place, Mike, where it's crowded. You roll up, and you're like, there's 16 cars in front of me, but I'm still going to get in this line.
In an unrelated story, Popeye says they're maybe thinking about adding a second lane sometime in 2032.
But, you know, you've got 16 cars in front of you, and next thing you know, it's like you've gotten your order in, and you are leaving Chick-fil-A. Can they get any faster and hit
the best, the best. As a matter of fact, I'm missing the one in Peachtree City. I don't know what they're doing, but they're remodeling it. Of course, they hired the best contractors.
Sure.
Because Ike, my dog, he misses his grilled chicken nuggies.
Is it closed down now?
Yeah, they're remodeling it, but it'll be open here in a minute. And that one is one of the most, two of those two-lane deals. Like,
yeah,
unbelievable how fast. So anyway, if you're down in Southside, Jodico Road,
Henry County's blowing up, by the way, isn't it?
Hey, it's popping just like when that. Carl, we got a major problem with our defense posture.
What do you mean?
The Navy is run out of pants. Supply chain issues affecting our men and women out there protecting the seven seas. The Navy has run out of pants for sailors. Off-base uniforms because of supply chain problems. Service members have been stripped of the camouflage trousers. Navy working uniform, it's called, Carl, due to defense, quote, Defense Logistics Agency vendor issues, according to military.com. So what does this mean? You're going to be wearing the camo blouse or top with, like, khakis? Are we going to look like Bermudans and wear Bermuda shorts? I mean, are we going to have guys wearing Zubaz sweats, Carl, on the deck of an aircraft carrier?
That would look a little weird. I don't understand how you have a shortage of unis.
Right.
This just doesn't make sense, Mike.
The ensemble, known in the military world by the acronym NWU, is the one, basically the Navy camo, that the sailors are allowed to wear on the job and out in public, including the shops and restaurants. Sailors generally have to replace the uniforms more often than others because they get worn out. They're not permitted to have stains on them. Military branch experiencing a shortage of NWU trousers. The Navy says they are working to mitigate this problem.
Mm.
But again, I mean, first off, you have to match. I mean,
it can't be mismatched.
Remember, like, Robin Williams came over to Vietnam? I mean, what? This camouflage, I can't see you. You should wear plaid and stripes, bright colors. But anyway, the Navy's out of pants. Hey, man, did Aaron Judge stiff some poor Staten Island Utes who are participating in the Little League World Series?
Was he supposed to do
something? Well, according to the coach of the kids from Staten Island, the least populated borough of the five that make up New York City, who are participating when the Yankees and the Tigers rolled into Williamsport on Sunday. Aaron Judge was asked about it. Coach says, oh, the guy can't turn around and say hi to the kids? Aaron Judge says, quote, I don't put any weight into the comments. I play in front of 40,000 fans every single night and get booed if I go 0-for-1. Not answering the question, though. South Shore Little League coach Bob Laterza telling StatenIslandLive.com he didn't interact with the players when they called him for seats. Hey, oh, come on over and say hi. Oh, Judge, you're too big a man to go say hi to the kids in between innings? How about turning around or wave to New York and the kids that think you're a hero, he said. These are the ones paying your salary.
Wait a minute. Why do you sound like?
Because that's a guy from Staten Island. You know where my cousin is from. You know,
in the Dice Clay room.
Well,
he
you
really
met,
did.
You met Tony the Mailman. Is that not how he sounds?
It does. No, it does. It just makes me laugh. So Aaron Judge, is he a jerk? What's going on?
He goes, I'm not going to give him a response because it's about the kids. That's what it's all about. We got a chance to spend a lot of time with quite a few kids in Williamsport. Made some great memories at the time, besides the loss. So I kind of wanted that to be the focus. They lost to the Tigers in the game. Well, that's not what Terrace is saying. You didn't turn around and talk to the kids. Judge, you're too big for the kids.
You know what? They do say that, too. They do say that. You're too big for us? They do
Look,
say that.
My father never went to the New York accent unless he was trying to intimidate someone. You've seen me do it in Vegas a few times.
You think you're bigger? Or you think you're better than us? You think you're better?
You think you're better? You know, these kids can easily go to Citi Field and watch the Mets, Judge. You're always hurt. You suck.
They're playing better anyway.
You know that's coming next.
It's true.
But no, the old man would always, even literally, that would be like the time we couldn't get the good. Remember, I told Dusty Baker that story? We met him in Indianapolis. I got Dusty Baker's autograph as a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Steve Garvey was going down the line at Shea, and he wrote this squiggle really quick. And my dad goes, yo, Garvey, he can't take that to show and tell. So Steve Garvey, I have the only Steve Garvey autograph that probably looks like that giant-ass giant G.
He felt like he was cheapening the moment.
Pretty funny. Anyway, there's your Guide Talk, brought to you by Dukes and Bell, Hey Man Ale.
Find out who caught a long pass today from Kirk Cousins. Falcons continue to prepare for not only the third preseason game, but the first game of the season. And speaking of Cousins, what does he think about the new signings? Find out coming up
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.